Welcome to Cattle HQ, a podcast from industry experts and progressive producers discussing cutting-edge info about the cow-calf sector to keep cattlemen and women in the know and positively affect their bottom line.
Welcome back to Cattle HQ, brought to you by South Dakota State University Extension. I'm Olivia Amundson, cow-calf field specialist based out of Sioux Falls Regional Center, and my sidekick and co-host Kiernan Brandt from the Watertown Regional Center. Joining me on this podcast is Heather Gessner, SDSU Extension Livestock Business Management Specialist out of the Sioux Falls Regional Office, where she shares her expertise in the livestock industry, as well as works with farm and ranch families on farm management issues such as livestock budgets and marketing, risk management, estate planning, and farm transitions and whole farm business planning. I'm excited to have Heather on this episode of Cattle HQ to share her expertise in managing cull cows. Welcome to the podcast, Heather.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about cull cows and maybe some different management consideration when it comes to cull cows. Specifically this year, the market's been really good for cull cows. So I think that leaves some different options open for producers. In terms of cull cows though, cull cows usually can equate to about 15 to 30% of the annual ranch income. So that's a good chunk of change that these cows can bring in. I guess to get started, maybe let's start talking about market variability with cull cows. And traditionally, when are cows being culled, and maybe what times of year should we consider selling cull cows?
Yeah, so you know, you mentioned 15 to 30% of the annual ranch income. So this really is a big chunk of change that is potential in a cull cow enterprise, if we want to think of them that way, and not just think of them as that's something extra that we need to deal with, or you know, we're upset because we have open cows or old cows that we need to sell, but they really are that income source for the operation. So when we're thinking about trying to sell them, we really want to look at the seasonality and the variability of winter cows going to town. And they are one of the more seasonal, and you know, generally we can say this is when historically prices are higher than average versus lower than average. You know, with that high peak coming in the summertime, June to August, because people aren't sending a lot of cull cows to market at that time, and then really kind of seeing their lows November to January, when you would consider, you know, your traditional spring calvers are all being preg checked and we're trying to figure out who we're going to feed over the winter, because you know, winter feed is expensive, especially up in South Dakota and the northern plains up here. So those are some of the things we really want to think about. You know, what's the price going to be for that cow is kind of one of our first steps and one of our first decisions that we're looking at.
And I was looking at some of the market prices around this area. So specifically, I kind of always go to Sioux Falls Regional, which is down there by Canton. And I was actually just looking at cull cow prices yesterday. And, you know, cull cows are actually bringing a decent amount of money right now. Do you think you'll see that staying pretty steady right now, considering that this is kind of that heavy time to bring cull cows into the sale barn? Or what are you kind of projecting as this year finishes out?
What am I projecting? So I try not to project very much, but here's what I think some people need to be thinking about. Historically, right now, we are sending a lot of cows to market and heifers to market. So there is not a lot of, there's a bunch of females going to market. And the LMIC report this last week really has a pretty good graphic on that. So right now we're seeing kind of a conflicting macroeconomic phenomenon that there's a lot of supply going to town, but we've also got pretty darn good prices. Sioux Falls's average price, you know, is in the upper 90s for some of our fat cows. You know, our average breakers weigh in 12 to 1600 pounds. If they're in good shape, they're bringing 90 cents. So if we've got really good conditioned cows right now, that's really kind of a signal to me saying, hey, the market is looking for your cattle, even though a whole bunch of them are headed to town at this time when we normally see that prices dropping. That kind of ties in with the current cattle on feed report showing in South Dakota, you know, we're 7% behind normal. So that's where some of that give and take is coming into. It's not just a supply and demand of fat cows right now going to slaughter. It's also what's coming up, and they're trying to, you know, look at filling some of those beef demand needs as we move forward in that marketplace.
Yeah, just a side note, like I said, I was looking at some of those reports yesterday, and I think a 1,700 pound cow went for about 96 cents. And I was like, that's the time to be selling fat cows.
Yeah.
So no, if you have fat cows.
Yeah. You know, if you've got that cow that was open all summer, or if she was dry all summer and then came up open as well, she's got two strikes against her. Somehow she didn't raise a calf this year. She came up open for whatever reason, but if she's in good rig, you know, 1400 pounds and pushing some condition, the marketplace is really paying for those right now. And if you could figure out a way, you know, you've got, she can walk, she's got teeth, she's, you know, all the right things with body condition wise, and you want to put 100 pounds of gain on her, you really need to be thinking about, how am I going to put the gain on? Is it going to be, you know, grazing corn stalks for a month? Because if there's a lot of corn out there, she might actually put on 100 pounds after you wean her calf and she's open, or if she was dry and now open, you know, put some really economical feed into her. If this market would happen to stay, I mean, even if it drops to 80 cents, you still put a lot of pounds on a cow pretty cheap and get rid of her that way. So you really want to think about what you're feeding if you decide to feed that cull cow, and not just feed her because you think the market's going to drop or it's traditionally the low time of the year for prices.
Heather, with as few cattle as the inventory suggests that, you know, just the current populations running with, can we just kind of expect to see some maintained demand for cows in good rig, like you were talking about? And I think we should dive in a little bit and talk about what that means, just how those cull cows are marketed based on their body condition.
Yeah, so kind of you went two directions on that one. You know, right now there is, you know, thousands and thousands of cows left Texas and Oklahoma due to the drought that they're having down there. So that main, you know, that need of beef in the marketplace is going to remain pretty high, because if those, you know, those cows are no longer part of the factory anymore, and they're not making feeder calves for next year coming up because of the feed situation. So there's going to be a demand for calves, cows, fats, the whole nine yards, you know, bred heifers, you know, to replace some of those herds that were culled out pretty hard. You know, so I think there's some favorable inklings going on for producers in the future here. So they really kind of need to be looking at that going, all right, let's see what I can keep the best of my abilities, but let's get rid of those that need to be gotten rid of as well. And, you know, and that goes into some of those, you know, they're mean. There's no reason in my world, there's no reason to have a mean cow around. She is not worth it. She riles up the whole herd when you're trying to work them. She's unsafe. You know, and if you get hit and hurt and you're out of commission for a month or two or three because of a broken leg or whatever it is, or worse, you know, she's just not worth it. So if they're mean, let's get rid of them. If they've got some, you know, if they're not very ambulatory, if, you know, they got an old limp or something like that, if we can put some condition on them and move them through the sale barn while they're kind of younger and have some potential to bring money in the marketplace, you might want to do that, or look at processing them for home consumption. Because once they get old and thin and have no teeth, and now they limp into that sale ring when they come in, you are really going to get hit on them hard. They're going to take a pretty big dock that year. So thinking about the animal on a per animal basis, as you would grade them, you know, can they walk? Do they have teeth? Are they already fat, or are they really thin? You know, and why are they really thin? You know, if they're unhealthy or they've have some type of health issue, you know, a chronic something, maybe it's better to just get rid of them at that point instead of putting more feed into them, trying to put more medications into them to fix whatever it is, because then we have to hang on to them for our withdrawal periods. You know, so now we're pumping expensive feed into a cow that maybe just is chronic and won't get better. So we take the loss on her now instead of putting another $300 worth of medication and $300 worth of feed into her that you're never going to see coming back. So yeah, knowing what type and kind of cows you have coming in open and what their potential is, you really got to take the heart out of the conversation and the matter and use the business side of the planning process on that one.
Heather, you brought up a lot of really good points. And I think you kind of answered one of the questions in terms of how do we decide which cows we're going to cull. And I think there's some just straightforward reasons why we're going to cull cows. And you've brought a lot of those up. But now let's say we have a cow that came open at the end of the year. She's, you know, she's in a decent body condition, but we could put some extra weight on her. And like you said, winter feeding can get really expensive, but you have a nice table on one of the articles that you have up on the website where you compare three different feeding options when it comes to cull cows. Can you describe this for our listeners and maybe discuss what some of those numbers look like and maybe give them some options in terms of what are some ways we can maybe put on some gain and is it going to be beneficial for us when we sell those cull cows?
Yeah, I can try to explain that a little bit. So basically, we've got three options that we're looking at. If we considered that we have a 1,200 pound cow that came in open in November, just for example, in a spot to start, you know, we can look at her right now and say, okay, she's open, she's 1,200 pounds. I can get, say, 79 cents at the market for her. So I send her straight to town. She brings in about $950. So we can kind of use that as our base cow and here's our option with her right off the bat. Then we also talked about, you know, grazing corn stalks. You know, if there's corn out in that field, let's say we put her on feed until February. You know, we put her out, she runs out on that corn stalk. So roughly 70 some days, maybe she can gain 2 pounds a day because she is thinner. She gave all of her energy to her calf, you know, so now we've got that compensatory gain that she's putting on grazing all that corn that you lost out in that cornfield. So if we consider a dollar a head per day, just as a corn stalk grazing rate, so it'd be whatever your grazing rates are in your area that you need to consider. But if we think of that as being $70 worth of feed and labor that we put into her, just having her out on corn stalks there, we can get her up to 1,300 pounds. And if that 1,300 pound in better condition, you know, better body condition score, she's now pushing a 5, maybe a 6 instead of what she was as a 1,200 pound cow, you might get 80 to 90 cents for her. So if we, you know, if we're using today's market prices and we're trying to be a little conservative with some of our estimates, you know, that 1,300 pound cow at 80 cents now puts you in about a $980 value. So we've, you know, we jumped $30 by keeping her. So we really need to think, is that enough gain for our time, for our labor, for keeping that cow? The other idea is that you could, you know, if you've got feed available, you know, if you've got silage or you have a dry lot pen to put her in where you can make her a TMR, you know, that total mixed ration to really meet all of her needs. So instead of gaining 2 pounds a day on corn stalks, we bump her up to 3 pounds a day on a ration that's going to be maybe pushing closer to $2 per head per day for that gain. You know, we're putting $140 into her now. We basically doubled our feed cost, but we can get her to 1,400 pounds. We're almost have a $1,000 cow. You know, so we're trying to be conservative with some of our estimations and some of our prices here. But, you know, we went from a $950 cow to a $1,000 cow. Is the $50 worth it for your operation? As that additional break-even piece, you know, especially in this drought year where we're looking at, you know, I drove around several counties the last couple of days, just road hunting and pheasant hunting with the crew and stuff. There's a lot of pastures out there that are not going to be ready to go May 1 this spring, even if we get a lot of snow. So we're going to look at pushing back turnout dates a bunch this year. So if we've got a cow that's in decent rig, we can get $950 or better for her right now. Say her break even was $600 to $700. You know, she's already being a profitable cow for us at that point. Can we save that feed for the cows that are pregnant and have the potential to add value to our herd in the future? So we got to look at that opportunity cost this year especially given, you know, maybe you didn't have as much silage put up as normal or as you wanted, or you didn't get as many ton of hay, you know, you're thinking that you're probably going to end up buying hay bales. Well, instead of feeding that hay, you know, over the winter months this year, maybe we sell that cull cow and have that feed on hand and available for those pregnant cows that are still being our factory and still working for us. So, you know, it's really kind of going to be an individual decision this year. There's no blanket that just says, yep, sell them all. Or there's no blanket that says, yeah, let's feed them and turn them into something, because we've got 3/4 more hay than we normally put up. You know, we're running feed heavy this year. If you're running feed heavy, super, try to maximize your value as much as you can on everything that you've got. Or we can minimize the amount of expenses that we're spending on an open cow while still generating a profit for our operation.
Yeah, I think you said a lot of really good things there. And for someone who, you know, just maybe has a hobby herd and buys all of her feed, you really have to learn how to take the emotion out of it and really think strategically when it comes to maintaining a efficient herd and being able to put that feed in front of those calves or cull cows. And so I really like, just thinking strategically how you really need to do it and making sure that you're getting those things done to make it a profitable operation.
Right. You know, especially if you've only got a few cows, you know, somebody that's got a herd of 40, 50 cows, they want to keep every cow that they've got. So they're like, hey, I'm going to keep this open cow, turn her into a fall calver. Well, we could do that this year and we could look at our feed, and if she's in good rig and she's fairly young, so her genetic potential is still kind of there. You know, if she's an old cow, maybe it's time she moves on and we improve our genetics with a younger generation. But if you've got that older cow and you just want to keep her because you love her and, you know, she's near and dear and she was that last show heifer or whatever the case may be. And I have had those last show heifers that had to go to town and it hurt and it sucked and those types of things. But we need to look at her and say, is she valuable to me as a fall calver, not creating another saleable product until that future time, after I feed her all winter and not have any income from her again? So especially, you know, given this feed situation out there in grazing lands, you know, pastures around, especially the southeastern part of the state that I've been driving in, they're really in tough shape. So if your pastures really need a lot of help and are going to need extra vacation break, you know, this spring to get going and actually grow a product for you next year, we're going to have to keep the cows out of those pastures as long as we can this spring coming up.
I think Heather said it really well. If you're purchasing all your hay bales, you know, you're probably, it's just important to throw that caveat in there and remember that there is some scale to this and some things that help and some things that don't. And if you're purchasing all your feed, that's going to end up being your limiting option, you know, especially if you look at it from the scenario that, okay, I'm going to feed out one cull cow and try and get her, you know, and, you know, think about that realistically. We're only expecting her to gain about $3 in value every day. So what's the likelihood that we can purchase that feed and feed her and increase our margin with that $3 a day? That's going to take some scale for us to get there. And, you know, I think back to, like, at its simplest form, the price received for a cull cow should be able to almost, if not entirely, recover the cost of purchasing a new replacement heifer or raising a new replacement heifer. And I think with where the market's at right now, we're set up pretty well to get that accomplished. And if prices are good and you've got, you know, if you've got cull cows that are identified as cull cows and you don't have feed bought for the winter and there's pastures that need tender love and care for next year, then yeah, maybe it's a good idea to cash out and not have to bother with all the extra time and labor and those things. You know, I've already been, you know, thinking about different feeding strategies for this winter, just in terms of counteracting diesel prices. And can you get away with supplementing cows every other day and not have to start the tractor every day just to cut out some of those chunks? And that's going to vary place by place, but, you know, we keep circling back to that. Price received is going to dictate if whether or not you're making money or not. And what you have to spend to feed those cattle is going to be important too.
Well, even thinking about hauling water, especially if you have cows on corn stalks, you know, when you talk about offsetting some of those diesel prices, well, there, I feel like there's situations any way, which way you run.
Yeah, because a lot of the, you know, the normal slough where you watered out of, the stack dams, they're dry or going dry. I was driving around from Lake Andes last week and cow stuck on the edge of the stock dam because it's that muddy on the edge. So, you know, how much does she lose just in stress and, you know, hanging out however long she'd been in that slough? And by the time you put a chain around her and get her out of there, what did she hurt? You know, what ligaments are pulled in her legs? Is she not going to get up and eat for the next couple of days while she's still in pain? So, you know, if especially those older cows that are going to have to fight at the feed bunk this year, if they're fighting for corn stalks, if they're fighting to get in and out of water, you know, they're putting a lot of effort and energy into their muscles just to do the normal things that they do. And so they're not going to gain what we normally want them to gain. So trying to evaluate your herd that way so that you can remain viable and economic while still looking at all the components of what am I going to have for grass next year? How many calves do I need to sell so I can pay my bills next year? You know, what's the minimum size cow herd I can run? Is this cow going to make me money right now selling for 96 cents when she's fat? Probably she should be profitable and help you make back some of the, like Kiernan mentioned, you know, have enough cash there to develop a heifer if that's what you want to do, or buy a replacement bred from somebody that's also trying to reduce their herd sizes because they're out of grass as well.
So Heather, you have a lot of really good resources on the website, things like cattle budgets, and just even articles in general talking about cull cow options. Do you want to just give our listeners some ideas of the things that you have available that they can utilize and maybe kind of look at some of their options?
Yeah, so one of the first things, you know, we've talked a lot about how much feed do you have on hand versus how much do you need. So we have a feed inventory and demand calculator that helps you look at how many cows you're feeding throughout the year, how many calves, what weight of calves, if you're going all the way up to fat cattle before you sell them, how much feed is it going to take for those animals to maintain what you have on hand? And then you can compare it against what you've already laid in by harvesting through this summer. So that's really kind of your first step, is how much do I need versus how much do I have? And then you can look and say, all right, so maybe now I need to be putting together a herd reduction plan for this winter coming up because I don't have enough feed laid in, or try to figure out how much feed you need to buy in the form of hay bales or extra DDGs or corn stalk bales or whatever you can find that way. The next thing I would really, really, really encourage everybody to do, it's not really related to one of the budgets, is to get your core sampler out or borrow one or rent one from somebody and take a feed sample of each of those different cuttings of hay, the different, you know, grass that you put up. Because of the drought, there might be different feed values in that this year than you normally have. So knowing that you're dealing with lower protein grass hay or alfalfa really is important to making sure that those cows actually gain and maintain weight like you thought they were going to. So get your probes out, get your feed samples set in so that you can then create a very balanced budget that is the most economical for your herd and for your operation. From there, you can take those numbers, put the feed costs into any of the cow budgets that we have online, and it's anywhere from feeder calves to developing a bred heifer, a cow budget, getting her from breeding all the way to selling that first calf, turning in a steer and from a feeder calf into a fat steer. So I think there's 14 different budgets on there that you can put the feed costs into the budget, add in your veterinary costs, your labor supply expenses, marketing fees, trucking fees due to diesel fuel being high. You know, really take a solid look at that and say, all right, here's what I need this feeder calf to bring me come next fall. Or maybe if I'm trying to think if I'm going to background this fall for those calves coming in, then I can say, all right, now I need a put option or an LRP insurance product on those animals so that I can put in some floors on my calves because I can make a profit at this price right now. So lots of those tools that are out there that can help you say, here's all my input costs, here's what I need for some returns. Because right now, thankfully, input costs are high, but so are our prices being received right now. So if we can lock in some of those prices and really take a solid evaluation of what it costs versus what I'm going to get, it's hard to go broke selling for a profit. And if you know what your input costs are, you have a better chance of selling for a profit because you know what that is, not just selling on the third Tuesday of November, because that's always when we take calves to town.
Heather, you talked about testing, or, you know, using that hay probe and testing your feed and sending in samples. If you're maybe not around or nearby one of, you know, the regional centers or an extension, county extension location, where can people, or how can people get their feed tested?
The Sioux Falls Regional Office, we've got a hay probe that people can borrow. Some of their county offices might have some of them yet. I would, you know, go talk to your feed retailer. You know, where do you get your protein and the rest of your vitamins, mineral packages from? See if they've got a probe that you can buy or borrow from them. And, you know, if you're in this to make money, the $150 or $200 for that hay probe that you can put on the end of your drill is probably one of the most economical tools that you're going to buy. Because if you're not overbuying protein, or you're not underfeeding protein or energy or whatever nutrient your herd really needs, you're probably going to make that $200 up like Jiminy Cricket fast. So I would, you know, if you don't have access to one to borrow, it's probably one of those tools that you should have in the shed anyway, and be sending those seed feed samples in and knowing what you have. If it costs you $500 a year to know, you probably make that $500 a year in that tool and the feed sampling quicker than you can even snap your fingers.
We have a list of labs that you can send those feed samples to too. So I can put that, or I will put that up on the show notes. Yeah. So people can look those up as well. And I guess if they have any questions in regards to sampling feed, they can always get a hold of one of the three of us. Will have all our information up there as well.
Yeah. Brandon, you know, there's a YouTube video on taking a core sample online. Warren and Tracy put it together. So that's a great tool. You know, here's how you should take this core sample, and here's where it is, so that you can send in good quality samples as well.
Heather said it really well on a presentation the other night. What'd you say, Heather? You know, if you're putting up hay, weigh a few of the bales, maybe grab some samples, you know, just so you know what you're working with. And that's, you know, that's so true in all of this stuff. I mean, I think throughout the conversation today, we've kind of talked about some stuff that maybe inferred some things about things that are potentially already going on an operation. You know, maybe you can just start by acknowledging the fact that prices are high and that we need to identify cull cows for the first time and not just find out when they don't calve. You know, information is really, really beneficial, but you got to start somewhere. So just, you know, chip away at it and take it one step at a time.
Yeah, they might need to take that first step of preg checking in November, you know, and not just taking the exception that come April and she didn't calve, she was that open cow. You know, preg checking might be really, really valuable this year, so that you're not putting a lot of feed into an already open fat cow that could be making you money instead of eating her way through the winter of money that way. So, because I've even went so far and suggest to some guys that, you know, it's too early for me to preg check because there's not a very big anything in there to find just yet. Well, maybe ultrasound this year is going to make you some money if we don't have to feed that cow until the calf is big enough for me to identify through, you know, through palpation methods. So that ultrasound component and that extra tool, again, might cost you $20 per head to have everything ultrasound. But if you can guarantee that she's open through ultrasound and get rid of her because she's in good condition now, you just made $20 up really fast. You know, what'd you feed her, 20 days for $20 if you're out on corn stalks, when that feed could be, you know, if it doesn't snow this winter, you know, somebody else will eat that corn, that ear of corn that she was eating, and put that towards making you a calf next year Yeah, you're right, Kiernan. We inferred that they were going to preg check.
Sometimes you got to just circle back to the little stuff first. And
yep.
Figure out those open cows first, especially, you know, we're going to talk about strategies like beaten market saturations and things like that. You know, we got to have some of those basics got to be in place to develop that a distinct coal cow enterprise. And
right.
That's how you make money, is treating it like its own distinct enterprise. So
yeah, weighing a bale of hay,
right?
Checking, taking a feed sample. Yeah, knowing what you have to start with, for sure.
We're working on a cool cow evaluation app that I don't know if you wanted to dive into, Olivia, but essentially it will be a shiny app. It'll be hopefully a pretty user-friendly interface where, you know, we'll get to use some of the stuff that we've talked about today. Producers will have the option to kind of identify if they're going to sell their cool cows immediately or feed them for 30 days or 60 days and try to achieve some specific gains with them. Input kind of what they can estimate their own feed costs will be. And hopefully what it ends up being is just a side-by-side comparison. As is it more profitable based on what we've got for feed right now to take them to the sale barn as soon as we know they're open, or is it worth trying to feed them for a predetermined duration of time and trying to maximize some value? We'll see what that app looks like. We were supposed to have it by now and hit a couple hangups, but it's coming.
All right. Well, Heather, I think that kind of wraps it up when it comes to talking about cool cows. So thank you, Heather, for joining me on this podcast today. Once again, this has been Cattle HQ, brought to you by SDSU Extension, headquarters for all things beef cattle. Visit extension.sdstate.edu for the latest beef information.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Cattle HQ, brought to you by SDSU Extension, headquarters for all things beef. We invite you to visit extension.sdstate.edu for the latest beef information, as well as subscribe to the show on Spotify. You will also find show notes and resources from today's episode. Until next time, remember, success is not a goal, it's a byproduct.